It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study, we left Paul in Corinth, and in verse 18 of Acts chapter 18, it says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while." This is in Corinth. "And then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow." Well, some ask, why did Paul shave his head? Well, it's possible that Paul had taken a Nazarite vow, and that would be not cutting his hair until the duration of the vow was finished. In other words, he said, "I'm not going to cut my hair until a certain time." And we see this was strictly a Jewish institution, according to Numbers chapter 6, but Paul often made an effort to retain his Jewish identity, and he did this hoping to reach the Jews more effectively. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 and 20, we talked about this last time, it says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Now, some people try to turn this, what I've just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 here, they try to say that Paul, if it took something like, he would be like an unsaved person to reach an unsaved person. Well, that's not true. That's not what these verses are teaching at all. These verses are teaching us that Paul did nothing to offend these people, that he did not live like an unsaved person. He was saved and he was on his way to heaven. And he wanted the people that whom he came into contact with, he wanted them to be saved as well. So he lived the Christian life, and he did what God wanted him to do. He was sold out to the Lord. Well, in chapter 18 and verse 19, we read this, "And he came to Ephesus," this is Paul, "and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." Once again, Paul took this opportunity to preach the word of God. Now, there's a time when Paul left Corinth, and we've just read that, and he came to Ephesus. And he left certain of his people there. In other words, the disciples, that those people who had been saved. And notice now, in verses 18 through 21, we see here a farewell to friends. Because it says, "When they desired him," that's Paul, "to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. Well, here we see that Paul is leaving these people who loved him. They loved him because he was once again sold out to the Lord, and they knew it, that he was a Christian and he had helped them grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we see in verse 22 that Paul returns to his home base, because it says, "And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch." Remember, Paul and Barnabas had left Antioch and they had gone on these journeys. We call them the missionary journeys. Paul's first missionary journey and his second missionary journey. And that's what we've been reading about here in Acts chapter 18. Well, now Paul is leaving and he's gone now, but what's he doing next? Well, we get into Paul's third missionary journey. And this journey was different from the first two. On the first two journeys, Paul reached into new areas where he preached the gospel and planted churches. Well, now in the third journey, missionary journey, Paul visited no new areas. Well, why did he not visit new areas here? Well, he went to strengthen believers in the cities where he had already been. And then on the second missionary journey, we just got through completing that and reading about that. But on that second missionary journey, the Holy Spirit directed Paul away from Asia because God wanted him to spend most of his time in Europe. Remember, we call that the Macedonian call. He wanted to go one place, and God said, no, you're going into Macedonia because there's people there who need to be saved right now. And so Paul's thinking of going one place was changed by God. He listened to the Lord. And we see on the third missionary journey, and we're getting ready to look at that, most of Paul's time was spent in Asia, in the city of Ephesus. Well, now in this study, what I'd like for us to look at are some things, exciting things that happened to Paul in the city of Ephesus. And we also want to learn about Eutychus, a man who once fell asleep while Paul was preaching, and he plunged to his death. Have you ever been in a church service where you didn't think the time would ever come when the preacher would stop preaching? Well, I think this is what happened to this man up there. I don't know if he didn't think that, but he fell asleep while Paul, the preacher, was preaching. And we're going to read about that. Well, in this city of Ephesus, it reminds me of the people Paul met in Athens, Mars Hill. They were very superstitious. Well, so were these people in Ephesus. They believed in magic and witchcraft, and they worshiped idols and false gods. Well, Paul came into the city with the message of the true living God. Now, there were miracles performed there. It was not magic. They were miracles. Handkerchiefs, towels, or aprons which had touched Paul's body were brought to those who were sick or demon-possessed, and the diseases and evil spirits departed. You see, this reminds me, of course, of the people who merely touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, and they were completely healed, according to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 36. Well, you see, this doesn't mean that Jesus' garment was magical or that Paul gave magical powers to handkerchiefs which touched his body. It just means that God chose to heal people in a very special way. If God wanted to heal everyone who simply touched a leaf or a piece of grass, he could do it. Well, there was one time when God healed a group of people, and the only thing these people did was look. If you go back to Numbers chapter 21, in verses 6 through 9, you'll read about how that the people there were instructed to look and live. There's a song that is titled Look and Live. But we go to John chapter 3, and we read about this to a point, and there's a comparison here. In John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." That means Jesus Christ had to be lifted up. That means he had to be crucified. Why? "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then that familiar verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look and live. Look to Jesus Christ. He is the one who gives life. And this is what was going on here with Paul. He was asking people to look and live. Look to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Now, what I'd like to do right now is start in chapter 19 of the book of Acts and read a few verses. Starting with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples." Paul came to Ephesus. He was passing through there. He came to Ephesus, and he found people who had been saved, and he wanted to be there with them for this period of time. Because he said unto them, verse 2, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Once again, Paul is reminding them that you get saved and then you get baptized, because it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been baptized under the baptism of John, but now Paul says to them, now you've been saved, now you need to be baptized because of Jesus Christ, because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, verse 6 goes on to say, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, this after they were baptized, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. In other words, they spoke with other languages. And remember this, that people look on the outward appearance. And the Bible tells us that the Jews require a sign. And this is what was going on here. I believe there were people standing around, and God used this opportunity to let people know that something miraculous had happened with these people whom Paul baptized, because the Holy Ghost came upon them, and as a proof of this to people, they spake with tongues and prophesied. They spoke other languages, and the people standing around saw this. Man looks on the outward appearance, and God looks on the heart. He looks on the inward, and he knows whether a person has been saved or not. But people have a tendency to judge, and when they saw this happening, there could be no doubt in their minds that something miraculous had happened there, and Jesus Christ would receive all the honor and glory. Now notice verse 7 of chapter 19 of Acts. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue, this is Paul, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, verse 9 goes on to say, But when divers were hardened and believed not, that means many people, there were several that hardened their hearts and they didn't believe, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, they spoke evil of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says he, that's Paul, departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God had a job for Paul to do, and he did it. Wherever he went, he spoke boldly the word of God. And God blessed that by people getting saved. And you and I, we need to spread the word of God so that people would be saved. You know, a lot of times we get in our minds that, and this is true, that when people get saved, they don't go to hell, but they go to heaven after death. But many times we leave out one important aspect of salvation. And that one important aspect is this, that not only does that person escape hell, but that person, when they get saved, they are bringing honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're bringing honor and glory to God. And we need to remember that. That is the most important thing about salvation, is that we can glorify God because he has chosen to save people, not just one or two, not just one here or one there and choose one to go to heaven, one go to hell. God does not do that. He sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible tells us that to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called or to become the sons of God, the children of God. So Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. That doesn't mean that he chooses certain individuals. He chooses anyone, and they must choose him in order to go to heaven. And this is what Paul was doing. He was representing Jesus Christ so people could go to heaven. We need to do that as safe people. Tell them, tell other people how they can go to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.